And now for reading and writing and radio.
Hail to thee, O great TV that fills our waking hours.
That song of praise to the great TV was written by Jacqueline Jackson and sung by the first, second, and third graders in Janet Seifkus' music class at City Day School, Springfield. But it could be written or sung by you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Screen. It's inviting, it's affrighting, it's exciting, it's delighting, and also it's refreshing, it's caressing, it's distressing, it's oppressing. No need to wonder what to do, just view. Take a deep breath, kids. Today we're going to ask you to do something awful hard, to go off TV cold turkey for 2 weeks as an experiment. And we're here in Verdon, myself, Jackie Jackson, and my assistant, Jan Grimes, and we're roving reporters to interview fourth grade teacher Ethel Kunstman. Shall we have a hello from Ethel Kunstman?
Hello.
Who had her students do this horrendous experiment year before last. And we also have a group of those very guinea pig students to prove to you that the experiment won't kill you. They are now sixth graders, and let's get their names.
Jeanette Holly,
Kim Carney,
Stacy Wheeler,
Bobby Etter.
Okay, Stacy and Kim and Jeanette and Bobby. We're going to, before we have our interviews, have a couple of stories. Jan, would you read the first one? It was sent in last year by Dawn Clark, who was in Mrs. Broadhead's fifth hour class, I think that's sophomores, here in Verdon, and she sent it in response to the Monster program.
No, I won't watch you. You can't make me. But as usual, I am defeated again. Every time I walk into my house, I have a mind-baffling battle with the television. I try to convince myself that I have better things to do than to sit in front of the television. But all the convincing in the world cannot help me defeat this monster. It seems to have an attracting magnetism that holds me in front of it for hours. I jerk and pull and try to pull myself away from this monster, but it is just too powerful. I anticipate the day when I have the power to walk into my house and defeat the television.
And one more, just written by a young man in my Sangamon State University fantasy class. He wrote a new chapter for the Little Prince book. On the next planet, the prince saw two people, a man and a woman. This heartened the little prince, because on all the other planets he went to, there were only old, cantankerous curmudgeons who were by themselves. But here, thought the little prince, coming closer, are two people who are able to live together. In front of the man and the woman was a large box casting light that threw an odd shadow on their faces. They paid no attention to the little prince as he landed. "Hello," said the little prince. "Shh! Captain Stubing's in love," said the woman, not turning her head. "Hello," said the little prince again, this time in the direction of the man. "Grunt," said the man in reply. Undaunted, the little prince focused his attention on the box that had captivated the other two. It was bathed in gray light, and you could see other people, small ones, inside the box. "What is that?" said the prince in astonishment. "Liz Taylor has thick black hair all over her body," said the man. "But what is that?" said the little prince. He never let go of a question until he had had it answered. "The eyes and the ears of the world," said the man. He turned away from the box to the little prince for a brief second. "You look like Opie." "What do you do here?" asked the little prince. "I'm Hugh Downs, and this is 2020, spurted the woman. "We are experiencing life," said the man. "Is this all that you do?" asked the prince. "Don't you live life? "What else is there to do?" asked the man, not moving his gaze from the box. "It's all been done." "What?" said the little prince. "Who's going to cure cancer? Who's going to walk on Jupiter? Who's going to protect all the children? And who's going to bring peace to the world?" The man quickly leafed through a small book at his side. "That's next on Channel 7, he said finally. "Easy off makes oven cleaning easier," said the woman. The little prince flew off. "Grown-ups are very, very strange," he said. And now, before our interviews, I'd like Jan again to give us a quick rundown of some facts and figures and opinions about kids and television. Jan?
Hi. Experts differ on their estimation of TV. On the negative side, television has been called a mesmerizer, a hypnotizer, a sensory deprivator, a stifler of creativity, a dominator, a barrier to family communication, an overstimulator, a pacifier, and an imagination suppressor. On the positive side, TV has been called a window to the world. That's what the public TV station in Chicago uses as its theme. An idea generator, a world uniter, a common denominator, a shared family experience. That's as opposed to a barrier to family communication. An art source, a promoter of reading skills, a transmitter of cognitive and social skills. It's teaching you things about reading and writing and how to get along. It's been called a child's friend, a bringer of news, and a protector of freedom. In the middle, it's just simply been referred to as a three-ring circus, a babysitter, a third parent, and little more than a talking lamp.
Lamp,
right.
A talking lamp.
If you are the average American kid, by the time you enter high school, you will have spent some 22,000 hours watching TV. By the time you graduate high school, you will have spent only 11,000 hours in school.
The kids listening can't hear this. They can't see it. But you kids, all of a sudden, your eyes got awfully big at those figures. So if you feel like saying, wow, speak out when Jan is saying these things. What's that again? 22,000 hours watching TV?
And only 11,000 hours in school, which means you will have spent twice as much time in front of TV as in the school. Preschoolers, it's even worse. The average preschooler spends more than 64% of the waking time in front of the TV.
Little brothers and sisters.
And by the time they go to kindergarten, they will have spent more hours watching TV than a student spends in 4 years of college classes. Concerning violence, a much analyzed aspect of TV, by the age of 14, most of you will have seen 18,000 human beings killed on TV.
By one manner or another.
Yes. And many specialists are firm in their analysis that this exposure to violence can produce insensitivity to cruelty and can lead people to believe violence is an appropriate behavior. And it can lead viewers to think that the real world is more violent than it really is. Concerning commercials, you may think...
As well as maybe to make the world more violent.
True.
Settle your arguments
you
by whopping somebody over the head rather than talking it out. Okay, go on.
Concerning commercials, you may think you're watching cartoons on Saturday morning, but an awful lot of your viewing time is spent on commercials.
Okay.
Up to 24 ads an hour on the Saturday morning network TV. They're probably spending more time, really, trying to get you to buy things than they are entertaining you or bringing you important information. In the U.S., there are twice as many commercials on the children's programs than on the adult programs.
Wow.
We're the only country in the world where this is true. In fact, only four other countries permit any advertising on children's TV. Doesn't seem quite fair.
They're really out to get you to buy.
And it's hard to fight the impact of commercials. Constantly being told what's in, what you should wear, what's fun, what's new, whether you can buy it or not, can do a lot to your values and your desires and your lifestyle. And when TV commercials are trying to tell you that the royal road to happiness is being able to buy, it can be pretty frustrating. Also, what shows you turn to can make a difference in your critical thinking, say some experts. For example, one study showed that kids who watched MASH in the evening, as opposed to those who watched The Dukes of Hazzard, were more critical thinkers, although maybe the levels of their critical thinking had something to do with what show they chose in the first place. Choice. Luckily, most of you have a choice about TV. Over 96% of the homes in this country have at least one TV, and most kids are allowed to watch with few restrictions.
Is that it, Jan?
And that's it.
Well, why don't we go to Ethel now? Mrs. Kunstman, fourth grade teacher, what did you have in mind when you asked your class to quit watching TV for 2 weeks? Do you figure that TV is bad for kids?
Over the years that I've taught, I have always thought that TV was bad for the children. And 2 years ago, I took a summer class at Sangamon State with Ray Schroeder talking about, I think the name of it was How to Talk Back to Your TV. And I did research which went right along with what Jan just was talking about. So I decided that I would ask my children to watch television as they normally did for 2 weeks, keep track of the hours they watched, then not watch for 2 weeks, and later they wrote a paragraph telling me how they reacted to not watching and what they did with their time.
How did you prepare? Well, first of all, what did the kids think of the idea? In fact, let's ask the kids that. What did you think of the idea when Mrs. Kunstman said, you're going to watch for 2 weeks and then you're not going to watch for 2 weeks? Did she ask you or did she tell you?
She told you.
No fair. They volunteered.
Okay, they volunteered. Well, what did you think about it?
I didn't like the idea.
Kim didn't like the idea. Stacy?
I thought, I just couldn't do that. I'd die first.
You'd die first, Bobby?
I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. No watching TV.
Bobby was speechless. And how about Jeanette?
Whenever someone's telling you you're not going to watch TV, you're just in shock. You know, like, what am I going to do without it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like somebody telling you that you're not going to eat for 2 weeks, right?
Right.
A completely different way of life from anything that you've experienced before. But you see, for Ethel and me, we didn't have any TV when we were kids. So that we weren't TV addicts because there wasn't any TV to be TV addicts about. Okay, well, that was your initial reaction. So what did you do, Ethel, to prepare the kids and to prepare their families?
Well, first I did have them volunteer, and I told them what they would be doing. They had papers, which really turned out to be rather hard to keep track of. They were to put down how many hours they watched a day and give some thought to what they were going to do the next 2 weeks when they weren't watching. I gave them some suggestions. Most of the parents thought it was a great idea. The ones that I had talked to or the ones I heard from. And as I said, I gave them some suggestions. They came through with suggestions of their own, what they were going to do during the 2 weeks of not watching. And they didn't really talk about it too much while they were doing the experiment, but then later they talked about it and wrote paragraphs.
Mm-hmm. Well, kids, how did you prepare your families? What happened to your brothers and sisters and your parents when you went home and said, we're not going to watch the TV, or at least I'm not going to, for 2 weeks?
They laughed at us. You know, like, you can't watch TV and I can.
Oh, did they think that you couldn't manage it, that you wouldn't be able to last out the experiment?
Yeah. Mom and Dad just chuckled. They just sat on the couch and chuckled, and they thought, she's never going to make it, and I didn't.
My mom and Dad, they just went ahead and watched TV, and I stayed in my room most of the time.
So this drove you away from the family in the sense that that they didn't quit watching with you. They went on watching, and you had to be up in your room so that you wouldn't watch.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. How about you, Jeanette?
Well, my sister just said, she said, I know you won't make it. Come on, just watch TV. I said, no, I've got to do this, you know, and she told me I couldn't do it.
So the family opposition got your backs up and the family laughing at you and thinking you couldn't do it, so you were determined to do it. How many of you made it through the 2 weeks? Did you, Bobby?
No.
No? Did you, Stacy? You didn't?
I didn't, because I ended up getting the chicken pox while I was going through it.
Oh, so you decided to watch TV with the chicken pox.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What about you, Jeanette?
I had to take a sneak peek.
Jeanette had to take a sneak peek, but it sounds like you maybe came through it practically without fail.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Ethel, while this was all going on, were you watching TV?
I rarely watch TV, so it didn't bother me at all.
Well, I don't either, because if I watched TV, I wouldn't have time to do anything else, and I think that's the way with a fourth grade teacher. She wouldn't get her work done if she watched TV. Let's see, what were some of these other questions that we had? Did anybody in the class rebel, Ethel, and refuse to do it?
There were some who started, well, there were some who didn't volunteer. They didn't have to do it to begin with, but there were some who were going to, and after a day or two, they just fell out of the program. They didn't even try after the first couple of days, which was fine. They didn't have to. This was for fun anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, then during that 2 weeks, what did you kids find to do to take the place of TV? After all, if you're spending all those hours that Jan is telling us about, if you're the average kid, all of a sudden you've got a great big hole in your life. After school, in the evening, Saturday morning, Sunday. What did you do? Did you begin to find other things to do?
Mm-hmm. I read a book.
You read more books than before.
Well, I had to watch my sisters and I did work, and sometimes I just sat on my bed and laid down and looked at the ceiling.
Uh-huh. Well, in other words, you meditated. You were maybe bored. I always believe in good, healthy boredom because that's when ideas begin to come. What about you, Kim?
I just sat around and usually did nothing, or if I went outside.
And what would you do outside?
Whatever I could find to do.
Well, that sounds sort of good to me, too. Getting outside
fresh
and
air.
Doing fresh air, right, Jeanette?
I found myself doing more gymnastics, and I found the house cleaner during them 2 weeks.
Because you were doing more cleaning and helping and so forth. Did you talk more? Did you talk to your parents and your brothers and sisters more?
I talked to my sister more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
More than I usually do.
Now, I imagine, Kim, you didn't because you were up in your room and they were down in front of TV.
Yeah, I didn't.
Uh-huh. How about you, Stacy?
Well, they always talk to themselves and I always tell them to be quiet, so it's just the normal thing.
But this time you didn't get in on the talking?
Mm-mm.
And Bobby?
Well, my brother, he kept on saying, wow, what a great show this is. And he intimidate me to watch it.
And he kept rubbing it in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make you break your vow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ethel was writing some of these things down because you did a paper on it, didn't you?
Yes.
Afterwards, and you've got what some of the reactions were. I know you kids all wrote, but we don't have your writing anymore. Couldn't find it 2 years later. But here's what Ethel, why don't you share with us what you wrote in your journal for your class?
Shall I give the ones that these children said as well as the other ones?
Sure.
Okay, some of the children played games, read, cleaned their rooms, or helped in the yard. One of the boys said he ate. Jeanette said that she watches less TV now, but she didn't like the experiment. Now, after 2 years, I don't know if she watches less or not. Amy slept and read a lot, and she thought it really did her good, to quote her. One of the girls said that the experiment changed her habits of watching television, and her mother told me she was delighted. Another of the girls said that she had to watch some shows because the 2 weeks were just too boring. One of the boys said that he didn't watch it as much, but after the experiment was over, he was going to watch much more because they had cable, which they didn't have earlier. And one of the boys admitted that he couldn't get away from it. He missed it so much that he had to watch it. And Bobby over here said that it was really tough not seeing TV, and when he told his parents, they said he would just have to go to his room when the television was on. So one night, his mother was sleeping, his father was taking a shower, and he sneaked the television on for a few minutes. Another night, he went to a friend's house and watched it. And some of the children did begin to do some handicraft-type work. And one of the girls,
hobbies.
Mm-hmm. One of the girls had not been interested in working with her hands before. And that was one thing that not watching television led to, was doing some handwork.
I remember that one of the writings of one of your kids, the girl said how she failed miserably. And she said, "I guess I'm just a TV attic." And she spelled it A-T-T-I-C, as in the attic over your head. Well, what I would hope might happen, too, is that the kids... Do you feel that you watch TV more sensibly after you finish the experiment?
You mean, like, not as much?
Well, not as much, and also as more discriminatingly. Picked out what you wanted to watch more. Or did you just turn it on and let it run, like the faucet?
Yeah.
Which?
I just turned it on and let it run.
There's sometimes not too many good shows on, so I just watched where I knew was good.
Well, that's very hopeful, there aren't enough good shows for you guys. Even if there were all good shows, I think the amount of time that kids spend is far too much. But if this helps you to pick the good shows and leave the bad shows behind, all the better. Stacy, do you have a word?
Well, sometimes when I'm alone in the house and Mom's taking the kids and she's gone in town, I just turn it on and just listen to the sound. I don't just... When I'm doing the dishes, I just hear it.
What Jan called a talking lamp.
Yeah.
To keep it on. And Bobby?
Well, I don't watch as much since I've got an Atari now, so all I'm doing now is just playing Atari.
Well, those games are really giving the TV a run for its money, too. Well, all these kids that are now listening and that are maybe going to take this experiment, I suggest teachers that you have them volunteer, twist their arms a little bit so that we'll be sure to have some that are doing it, and... I think the way Ethel worked it out is a way that your class could, or figure out your own rules and regulations and how you're going to let your parents know. Then, how about the writing? For your writing 2 weeks from today, or whenever you finish your experiment, and I think that first week of watching and keeping track of what you watch is a good one, and then to go cold turkey. So in about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, tell us about your experiment. Maybe the whole class could write us. Tell us if there's any withdrawal symptoms. Did you have any family conflict? Were there any interesting occurrences? And especially, what did you begin to find to do in all that TV time that you now had? When you start your experiment, write into us and tell us how you're surviving at the start. Whether you're going to make it, do you think? But as for your writing right now today, why don't you write on TV as a subject? Take a class poll. How much time does each class member watch a day or over a week? Is the TV on a lot? Is it like a talking lamp? What hours do you watch? Does your family keep you company? What shows do you think are good or bad, and why? What would you change about TV? Be a TV critic. Does your family talk back to the TV? Do you boo the commercials? Or do you whine to your parents to buy you what you see? Have you ever tried turning down the sound and just watching the pictures? Or just the opposite, listening only to the sound and not watching the pictures? Do you feel that TV prevents you or your family from doing some of the things that you'd like to do, like time alone with your dad or your mom or your grandparents? So today, let's see if we can defeat the TV monster. Let's talk back to the TV, or maybe it'll defeat us. And we'll just view. Thanks a lot, Ethel, Jeanette, Kim, Stacy, Bob, and Jan.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.